You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. There's one story, at least for most of the day, was dominating the news. And it started yesterday evening, and it's continuing, but we're getting some reactions and some denials. And what I'm talking about is the Washington Post article that President Trump disclosed, revealed, highly classified information given to him from now it looks like from Israel, but at the time they wrote the article, they didn't identify the country, about Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. And apparently it was on the electronic devices, laptops. Now, what you need to understand, if you go to open sources is anything that's available to the public. There's some information about that. This is a story in March, late March, that if you were on a flight starting out in the Middle East, there were about 10 to 14 different airports, that they were going to insist that electronic devices, such as a laptop, had to be put in the baggage compartment. Now, I need to point out, that's speculation on my part as to what was released. You see, we don't know what was said. This is anonymous sources, either former government officials. Now, who do you think that is? I'll speculate here right now. CIA officials that worked in the Obama administration. And if it's former, it's probably political, and it's probably at the very top. That's just an educated guess on my part. And probably the reporter went to this person. And he said, you can't attribute anything to me. It's off the record. And he got some comments. Now, why am I saying this? That's the problem with these stories. They never identify the source other than a former government official. Let me read the lead. Trump revealed highly classified intel in Oval Office meeting with Russians. Was the Washington Post in the meeting? No. A former, let me read the second sentence. President Trump revealed highly classified information to the Russian foreign minister and ambassador in a White House meeting last week, according to current and former U.S. officials who said Trump disclosure jeopardized a critical source of intelligence on the Islamic State. It is leaked out that critical source of intelligence is the government of Israel. And we have somewhat of a special relationship with them, as does the CIA, a long time special relationship between the CIA and Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency. But we don't know what Donald Trump said. This is speculation on whose part? The former government official and someone that wasn't in the meeting. Now, the White House has denied it, and I'm going to play a good chunk of the segment of the National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General McMaster's, in a minute. Now, it goes on. I'm skipping around here. I'm just reading you what I've highlighted, and let me, for new listeners, the way you listen to this show, if you don't catch it when it's being broadcast live over the internet is podcast, and most of my listeners listen to this show by podcast, is to go to my companion blog, prompops.wordpress.com, and underneath my photograph of yours truly in the studio, you'll have links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. This is show 894, and I have background information. I have articles, YouTube videos, cartoons, photographs, whatever's really relevant. And I have excerpts from the Washington Post's article. And this one I put in red. This is code word information, said U.S. official familiar with the matter. Now, it didn't say former, U.S. official. So someone is leaking to the Washington Post. That's the real problem here. You have government employees that don't like Donald Trump in the CIA, in the NSA, and in the FBI that are leaking to the press. They could and should be fired for this. They're leaking classified information. This is code-worded information, said a U.S. official familiar with the matter, using terminology that refers to one of the highest classification levels used by American spy agencies. Trump revealed more information to the Russian ambassador than we have shared with our own allies. The source doesn't know this. Where is he getting his information from? Where is he getting his information from? The problem you have is throughout the government, and I think in the White House, too. They have their problems in the White House. You have leakers, and this has been a problem with every administration. When someone doesn't agree what the president is doing, they feel compelled to go, if they have a friend or a connection, anonymously. They don't want their name in the paper. You better believe that. It's not for attribution. This entire article has no name as to attribution. It's either a government, this one is a U.S. official familiar with the matter. Well, that's a hint for the FBI to investigate this and find out who was familiar with the matter. And usually it's going to be a fairly long list. Not hundreds, but dozens of people. Because there are going to be notes taken and people will review those notes. Now, I'm speculating what was revealed. And I think I'm very warm, if not right on the button. The Russians, as well as us, are concerned about terrorist attacks. Remember, there was an explosion on an aircraft that killed a lot of passengers. Over the Sinai, a Russian aircraft took off and blew up, and the Islamic State took credit for it. So the Russians are interested, and I'm sure President Trump knew this, and President Trump obviously was briefed and given what our U.S. intelligence calls an estimate and what the British call an assessment of the situation. But a lot of this information can be gleaned by just doing research on the internet today, either YouTube videos or articles on this. And I've included some because people's memory is short. I think it was right, if I'm correct, that Donald Trump indicated that Al-Qaeda and or the Islamic State, and remember, they're rival gangs is the way I look at them, that want to kill Americans as well as Russians, have developed bombs and in batteries. That's one place they put them. And that's good, solid information from a solid source that we reveal it to the Russians. Because you need to examine those electronic devices, whether it's a laptop, a tablet, anything that they can get on an aircraft. Now, my reaction was, well, there's two points you need to understand. The technology that we use at the airports today, and I avoid air travel. I don't travel is the short end of it. One time I did a lot of travel. I'm not against traveling. It's a headache today. And they nickel and dime you in terms of the luggage. I said, enough. I don't need the aggravation. I can either drive. It's not critical in my situation for me to travel a lot. Fine. But a lot of people, there's no way around it. I had a job like that. I had to travel at least once, if not several times a month. And I liked it, but a lot of people don't like it. When you go to the airport, my understanding, the technology they have to, it's an X-ray machine is what it is. And they're looking at your laptop. There's a more advanced technology that gives them, let's just say, more information. And they use that in particular to screen the baggage that you don't put in the overhead bin, but rather you check in. So they, and I'm reading a little bit between the lines here. That's why they don't want you to carry it on board in the passenger's compartment. But what's the problem if you check it in? Well, you have lithium batteries. Some of them have burst into flames, exploded and burst into flames. So if everyone that has electronic devices, tablets, laptops, checks them in, you're going to have a lot of computers that are stored with the luggage. And if one of them should burst into flames, unlike in the cabin where you could have a fire extinguisher and put it out, you don't have anyone there. So there's some issues with that solution of putting it in check-in luggage. Now, this is a detail. I'm getting a little bit lost in the woods, and I really don't want to get lost in the woods here. A couple of key points. Presidents of the United States can declassified information on the spot. Doesn't have to be reviewed by anybody. I say that because some of the news people, the Trump haters, the America haters are now the Trump haters. He committed a crime. No, he didn't commit a crime. Unlike everyone else in the government, the president can declassified information. And we don't know he did that. And the reason I say that, I don't have access to a CIA briefing, an estimate, but I knew without looking it up, I have a memory, keep details, that flights from London to the United States, as well as from the Middle East, they were requiring you to you couldn't take on a tablet or a laptop, a so-called electronic device. Smallest device was a cell phone. And I'm willing to bet President Trump knew that as well. Now, he might have given him some details that is not available open source, but the people that were there, the National Security Advisor, made that point today. Probably most, if not all, of the information in this specific area, we don't know what else was discussed. It was somewhat of a wide-ranging meeting. There's Syria that they had to talk about, which I'm sure they spent most of the time on. And y'all, and any type of meeting like this, and this is going to be a very direct, I would say, somewhat argumentative meeting, a sensitive meeting on everyone's part. You want to share information that would help, in this case, Russia. And they have suffered a loss when that airline blew up, and it was a terrorist attack. So this is at least trying to provide Russia with information that could prevent another airline disaster. And who knows what the Russians might share with us in some future date. We don't know. There's a lot of speculation going on. But what's driving me a little nuts and a lot of other people, it's abundantly clear that the so-called power elite, the ruling class, there are a number of phrases to it, the members of the club, and that includes the politicians, the career politicians, the bought and paid for politicians, Democrats and Republicans, the bureaucracy, for sure, and this is just another instance of a leaker, pulling down a government salary and violating his oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, feels compelled to leak because they don't like Donald Trump. They felt so strongly they should have put their name attached to it, and they won't do that. They're weasels. That's how I characterize, and they're just a bunch of weasels. And presidents get mad at this, as they should be. Presidents, it's essential for a president when he is meeting, especially with the foreign minister as well as the ambassador from Russia, that what he says in that meeting more or less stays in that meeting. Now, yes, what happens after the meeting, there's going to be minutes distributed, and I'm willing to bet it was recorded too. That would be the expectations that the Russians had their recording, the United States had their recording, and a transcript or minutes or summary of the meeting, what key points were raised, where there was some agreement, where there's disagreement. You're always going to have that in any size bureaucracy, and especially at this high level. And I always say about meetings, and I've been in my share of them, if there are 10 people in the meeting and you talk to 10 people, you're going to get 10 different perspectives. And you need to understand that because people, sometimes they're listening and concentrating. Sometimes they're not. They're daydreaming. Some people take good notes. And that's my recommendation. I've been in a lot of negotiations and meetings. I make sure I try to take good notes. I do play it by ear because I know people's memories are different. People hear what they want to hear. They're all listening, but they hear what they want to hear. And now we have this third, fourth hand Washington Post news article. And let me continue. I'm kind of scanning it right now. And I want to emphasize, before you try to sort out what's on the news, if you're listening to the television news or the radio news, you're not going to get many details, that you at least first read the article and what it says and what it doesn't say. It's interesting, both the CIA and the NSA. CIA declined to comment on it. So did the NSA. That's to be expected. They're not going to say anything. And most importantly is the National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, denied the reporting of it, that he revealed classified information. So someone's not telling the truth, point one. Someone is leaking this information, point two. And it's not just current government officials, it's former officials. And of what country? That's another question. Is this now where they say U.S. official? And let me read this one. It is all kind of shocking, said a former senior U.S. official. Is that the director of the Central Intelligence Agency? I suspect it might be. He's certainly a U.S. official. He's certainly senior, and he's certainly former, and he doesn't like Trump. That's John Brennan, and he wanted Hillary Clinton elected. It's all kind of shocking. And then it goes on, and let me read the full description. It said, a former senior U.S. official who is close to current administration officials. In other words, you know, the deep state, there are people in the CIA that are giving them this information. Yes, throughout the bureaucracy, you have both Obama supporters and Hillary Clinton supporters. You better believe it. And I'm sure you have some George W. Bush supporters and Clinton supporters. Trump seems to be a very reckless and doesn't grasp the gravity of things he's dealing with, especially when it comes to intelligence and national security. And it's all clouded because of this problem he has with Russia. Well, excuse me, he doesn't have a problem with Russia. The problem was created by people in the former administration in the CIA, John Brennan and friends, that were looking for dirt, leverage, blackmail material on Trump and didn't find it. So where you can't find it, you make it up. And that was that, you know, what was going on is the Clinton campaign hired they wanted to do Operation Opposition. I keep saying Operation Opposition research on Trump. Think of it as digging up dirt. So they hired an outfit in Washington who hired someone in Great Britain that worked for British intelligence at one time, and he came up with a long list of material that no one could verify. It was garbage, folks, from beginning to end. And that was leaked. And I did a show on it. And I apologize for not getting the names, but who cares? Hillary Clinton lost. But that's what they were trying to do. That's what they were trying to do. So they could have their own October surprise. It didn't work out. But meanwhile, why the Hillary Clinton campaign was doing this garbage, what was President Obama's administration doing? Using government intelligence product, primarily from the NSA and the FBI, probably a little from the CIA, and trying to see if there was any dirt, not only on Donald Trump, but the people around him. And they subsequently leaked it. We have a lot of criminals in the federal government. Doesn't surprise me. Breaking the law. And they believe that and you can spot them, where they truly believe that the ends justify the means, and the ends here is to get Trump out of office. By hook or by crook, get Trump out of office. They will lie, and they will leak anything, everything, because the ends justify the means. And then it appears in where? The Washington Post, the New York Times, and your three major television networks. Yes, it's all kind of shocking. Yes, it's shocking that we have people that were entrusted with the national secrets, and because Hillary Clinton didn't win and they don't have their jobs anymore, the security of the United States and its people, as well as others, other nations, doesn't matter to them. I would have thought that they should have shut up, because this telegraphs, and I think they already know, and they knew several months ago, that someone in their organization, Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State, they got a spy. And that's the real danger here, that spy could be blown. But I don't think it was blown by President Trump. It was blown by the Washington Post and these former and current U.S. government officials. These are felonies. This is not a trivial matter. People will do a lot to keep their jobs, and something needs to be said about that. Newspapers are in a death spiral. There are fewer and fewer and fewer newspapers. This has been going on for decades. At one time, both the newspapers and the three television networks had a monopoly. Not anymore. Technology today is digital, ones and zeros, and it can be and is being transmitted over the internet. Pictures, videos, articles, photographs. People can get their information all by themselves. Yes, using search engines, but you got to be careful there because there's some biases in that. But you, if you're persistent, can get most of the story. It's not as convenient as listening to a rather abbreviated 1 minute, if it's 1 minute on radio, or maybe three, I was going to say 3 minutes, maybe a minute or a minute and a half on television. People can today quickly get a lot of information as to what's happening and make up their own mind. And that means their monopoly power to control you. And that's what they're doing. They're manipulating you, try to control you. It's in rapid decline, and it's been that way for years now. And they can't get over it. And there are many in the newspaper business, they're fearing for their jobs, except in one city. And I did a story about that a couple of shows back, Washington, D.C. The name of the game in television, and to a lesser extent in print, but also in radio, is ratings. Audience. If you have higher ratings, a large audience, you get advertising dollars, and you keep your job. Conversely, if your ratings are going down, down, and down, and not many people are listening to you or watching you, you'll get canceled. I listen to a lot of talk radio. I sample a lot of talk radio. I don't have time to listen to whole shows. And there's one I got to check out. Suddenly, he's not there. Two nights in a row, someone that I routinely at least catch the first 30 minutes, maybe an hour of a show because it's 12 to 4, is no longer on. I don't know what happened. Could have died. Could have been on vacation. No announcement. Suddenly there's a complete stranger on and I'm scratching my head. This has happened before. Many times it's due to ratings. And you have a new program director that thinks he can get the ratings up. Well, I wish this new guy luck, because there is a loyal audience out there, and they're not very happy when their primary source of news, as well as entertainment, is no longer there. I never was a fan of Bill O'Reilly, but I know many, many people that love the guy, and he had a long run. But the owners of these media corporations, they know it's profit-making, and they do what they have to do. Some of them, it's strictly dollars and cents. Others, they have a political ideology. And in the news business, it's primary liberal progressive. It's leftist. It's very much left to center. And that even includes Fox. Because the owner of Fox is for open borders. I'm totally against open borders. Yeah, I'm a classical liberal, believe in limited government. But I always point out, I'm for the free movement of people across borders, provided you do away with the welfare state. Well, they're never going to do away with the welfare state, and that's why I'm not. I'm for limited, controlled immigration. So you got to be aware who the owners are, and you better believe the talent, the people that get the listeners in or get the viewers watching their shows, they're very much aware of what the biases are of the owners. And for new listeners, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I've given up on both parties. They're both big government parties. Didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. Could never do that. And because I really have some trust issues with President Trump, I didn't vote for him either. I didn't vote for anybody. I thought the country and the American people could do a lot better. The best people never run for public office. That's just the truth. You're getting at best the second best. I was in the newsroom and they were interviewing Trey Gowdy when they got on the FBI. He was considered a possibility. And he made a statement that impressed me. He said, "I think they could do a lot better than me." And I agree with Trey Gowdy. I think they could do a lot better than him. But he was honest about it. He simply doesn't have the experience. Yeah, 20 years as a prosecutor, great experience. I think 6 years in the House, fine. But he's not what the FBI needs today. And that's being very honest, realistic. And I was driving to work earlier, a couple hours before that, and I heard on the news that our Texas Senator Cornyn withdrew his name. And he was a Supreme Court in Texas judge, as well as Attorney General, and he withdrew. And again, he thought he would benefit the citizens of Texas by remaining a senator. Well, okay. He's a Republican. That's understandable. You got to be honest with yourself. Is this the best position, first of all, in my career, and what are my chances here? Because Donald Trump wants to appoint the best FBI director that he can find. I hope he does. And if he does, a lot of the criticism that he's gotten in this last week will go away. You'll be surprised. So President Trump met with Lavrov, the Russian ambassador, as well as, excuse me, these Russian names. The foreign minister is Lavrov. The ambassador, it starts with a K. I have trouble. Believe it or not, at one time I was trying to learn Russian. I'm just not good with foreign languages. Didn't work out. Took a semester of it, and I was advised to take another language such as French, and I did. That's just an aside. I'm trying to think of I hope we have his name here somewhere. And I got to look at the time. I'm being distracted. Now, in the statement that I'll play in a minute, the National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, not only denied that Trump revealed classified information, remember, he was in the meeting, but he emphasized that specific intelligence sources and methods were not addressed at all. That's important. Now, some have said, well, why did he say that in his statement? Because it's implied in the article on a couple of spots, and that's why you got to read the article first. I simply don't have the time to read it. But do yourself a favor, read the article. Matter of fact, read it twice and note where they're getting their information from. But in between the lines, they're trying to give you the impression, and they're very slick about this. You know, the comment, this is highly classified information, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe it is. But that doesn't mean it's not available to the public. Anyone that listens fairly regularly heard the news reports about laptops, electronic devices, where you're taking a flight from London or some in the Middle East, going wherever you're going or to the United States from London, you're going to have to check it in. And that's not going to make some people are really attached to their computers, want to do work. They're going to have to watch the movie or sleep or whatever. Now, I want, before I play that two clips, this is the second aspect that they're zeroing in on. And I'm reading here from the article. The identification of the location was seen as particularly problematic, officials said, because Russia could use that detail to help identify the U.S. ally or intelligence capability involved. Officials said the capability could be useful for other purposes, possibly providing intelligence on Russia's presence in Syria. Moscow would be keenly interested in identifying that source and perhaps disrupting it. Okay, that's nice speculation. We don't know what was said. We don't know the location. Tel Aviv? Was that the city mentioned? Was it Yemen? Was it Raqqa? Where was it? We must have had a source, but we didn't mention the source or the method, specifically denied by the guy that was in the meeting and is the National Security Advisor. Who do you trust? See, trust is a recurring theme here. I don't know who to trust anymore. I definitely don't trust the Washington Post. A better way to say that, I take a lot what they say with bags of salt, because they have a long reputation for being a very liberal and now very progressive paper for many decades. And now, the head of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he's providing with the money so they can stay alive. It's Kislyak. That's the name I was looking for the Russian ambassador. Now listen to this sentence. This is a quote. I'm sure Kislyak was able to fire off a good cable back to the Kremlin with all the details, said a former U.S. official who handled intelligence on Russia. Now, they didn't say, it says it's a former. He wasn't there, but he knows. What is the Russian ambassador going to do? He's going to summarize the details of his meeting. That's routine. This is an Obama administration official. That's why you got to be careful when you read this. Is it a former? Is it U.S.? Or is it just a former official? A former official, that could be anybody. Now, at least at the very end, they say Trump emphasized the need to work together to end the conflict in Syria. I think that is very much a noble goal, and I'm sure that's what he was trying to do. And the president wanted to build a better relationship between the United States and Russia. Well, there's a lot of the establishment that doesn't want that. The neoconservatives and people in that room as well, including the national, well, I won't say what I suspect. Now, what I want to do is play quickly two clips before I run out of time. And I am spending too much time on this. I want to play McMaster's initial statement. There have been two statements on this. One was very short, sweet, to the point. He came out on the White House lawn, and I have a picture of who was in, especially the Russians and some Americans that were in the meeting. Here is the National Security Advisor, McMaster.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I just have a brief statement for the record. There's nothing that the president takes more seriously than the security of the American people. The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. At no time, were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known. Two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said so. Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh those of anonymous sources. And I was in the room. It didn't happen. Thanks, everybody.
As far as I'm concerned, that covers it. It didn't happen. Now, why do I say this? This gentleman has a reputation of being a straight shooter. He's trusted by a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, and was considered a terrific pick to be National Security Advisor. Now, what happened later? There was a press conference, and McMaster's, I'm not going to play the first roughly 6 minutes of it because it pertains to President Trump's trip to Europe and the schedule, but I am going to play the questions that he got at that meeting.
Washington Post story, which came out late yesterday afternoon, was false. Do you stick by that assertion? Do you think that every element of that story is false? And do you have anything to correct in terms of what you said at the podium yesterday afternoon?
No, I stand by my statement that I made yesterday. What I'm saying is really the premise of that article is false, that in any way the president had a conversation that was inappropriate or that resulted in any kind of lapse in national security. And so I think the real issue, and I think what I'd like to see really debated more, is that our national security has been put at risk by those violating confidentiality and those releasing information to the press that could be used, connected with other information available to make American citizens and others more vulnerable. Part of his wall, I'm sorry. No Israeli leaders will join President Trump to the Western Wall. He's going to the Western Wall mainly in connection with the theme to connect with three of the world's great religions and to advance, to pay homage at each of these religious sites that he's visiting, but also to highlight the theme that we all have to be united against what are really the enemies of all civilized people, and that we have to be joined together with an agenda of tolerance and moderation.
General, I just want to try to dig into some details of this reporting on the president's conversations with the Russians. Are you denying that he revealed information that was given to the U.S. by an intelligence partner?
So what we don't do is discuss what is and what wasn't classified. What I will tell you is in the context of that discussion, what the president discussed with the foreign minister was wholly appropriate to that conversation and is consistent with the routine sharing of information between the president and any leaders with whom he's engaged.
And the U.S. received from an intelligence partner?
I'm not going to be the one to confirm that sort of information that could jeopardize our security.
U.S. allies that do have these type of intelligence sharing relationships with the U.S. will stop providing that information?
No, I'm not concerned at all. That conversation was wholly appropriate to the conversation, and I think wholly appropriate what the expectations are of our intelligence partners.
If I can follow on that, General, have you reached out to foreign partners who might have contributed such information to the U.S. and talked to them about it, tried to reassure them? If so, what was their reaction?
I have not, and I'm not sure what conversations have been held about that.
Carol.
Going back to what you were saying earlier, if there was nothing that the president shared that he shouldn't have shared, why did his counterterrorism advisor contact the NSA and the CIA about what he had said?
Yeah, I would say maybe from an overabundance of caution, but I'm not sure. I mean, I've not talked to Mr. Bossert about that, about why he reached out.
Presumably you would understand why there was a reason to reach out.
Sure. I was in the room. The Secretary of State was in the room, as you know. The Deputy Assistant, Deputy Advisor for National Security, Dina Powell for Strategy, was in the room, and none of us felt in any way that conversation was inappropriate.
General, if you can tell us, when was the decision made to share that information with the Russians? Did the President spontaneously, on the spot, decide to give that information over, or was there an interagency process or some kind of formal decision-making process in advance of that meeting with the Russians last week?
Well, as you know, the President, it's wholly appropriate for the President to share whatever information he thinks is necessary to advance the security of the American people. That's what he did. As to your question on had that information been shared previously, I'm not sure about that. When did he make the decision?
When did he make the decision to share the information?
He made the decision in the context of the conversation, which was wholly appropriate. So let's just, I think it's worth recapping one thing here. The President was meeting with the foreign minister about the terrorist threat. He had also raised some difficult issues. What we expected in terms of different behavior from Russia in key areas like Ukraine and as in Syria. But then the President was emphasizing, hey, we have some common interests here. We have to work together in some critical areas. And we have an area of cooperation with transnational terrorist organizations, ISIS in particular, an organization that had already taken down a Russian airliner and murdered over 200 people in October of 2015. And so this was the context of the conversation in which it was wholly appropriate to share what the threat was as a basis for common action and coordination and cooperation.
Decision in the moment then, during the context of that conversation?
Excuse me. I want to follow up first with Jennifer's question, which you didn't answer, about the Western Wall being part of Israel.
Oh, that sounds like a policy decision for, you know, and that's the President's intention. And I did answer the question in terms of what his intention is and where he'd go with Israeli officials. The President's intention is to visit these religious sites to highlight the need for unity among three of the world's great religions, unity in confronting a very grave threat to all civilization, and unity in embracing an agenda of tolerance.
Can I get to the question that I had, please? Did the President reveal a city? The spin is that the President revealed the name of the city, and that gave away information that undermined an ally.
Okay, I will answer that. Okay, so all of you are very familiar with the threat from ISIS. All of you are very familiar with the territory it controls. If you were to say, hey, from where do you think a threat might come from territory that ISIS controls? You would probably be able to name a few cities, I would think. And so it was nothing that you would not know from open source reporting in terms of a source of concern. And it had all to do with operations that are already ongoing, have been made public for months.
I'm going to cut it off there. I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. Tomorrow, if I have time, I will address the second story, and it's more of a general situation. The problem we have today is President Trump is an outsider. He's not a member of the club. The first public office he ran for was president. The club, the elite, the establishment, don't want and did not want Donald Trump to be president, and they don't want him to succeed. I want him to succeed, and that's what they're really afraid of, that Donald Trump will be a terrific success. So they're using anything and everything, the truth as well as lies and misconstruing the situation, anything that will reflect negatively on President Trump. And they're doing it every single day. The American people are tired of this. They're fatigued about this, and they've had it. And if the press continues to do it, and they will continue to do it, and the Democratic Party does it, and certain elements of the Republican Party as well as the donor-owner class that provides them money to keep these people bought and paid for. They're harming themselves, so let them continue. But it's going to take Donald Trump and his people. They have to be better organized, better prepared, and have a better message. And this is a very good first step, because the what President Trump was doing is what any president should be doing, and it's to his credit. What they try to do is misconstrue by giving you a false context, a false premise about that information. Shame on them, and shame on the Washington Post. But most Americans don't read the Washington Post. They don't care about the Washington Post. The only people that care about the Washington Post are the power elite, the ruling class in Washington. And that's what they forget. Oh yeah, it's on the news, but it's not working, and it won't work. Now I have to cut it off. Thank you for listening, and now America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.